All right, Proverbs chapter 1 is where we're going to be tonight. And if you will, please stand with us for the reading of God's Word. And we'll go ahead and get started. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 right here. This is the main verse. Verse 7 right here unlocks the verse and theme to the whole chapter. So we'll begin reading, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. Let's read. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion." Verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." But then he says, "To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." But this is the key verse right here that unlocks the whole theme of the book of Proverbs. He says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. I want to talk to you about tonight the world of wisdom. Let's pray. You may be seated, and we'll go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much, God, for this opportunity to preach your word once again. God, I pray, Lord, that you would use it in this time to the edification of your people, Lord, that that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, that Lord, you would be seen and you would be heard tonight. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you would use it to speak to our lives. God, that it may change our lives and in turn be soul winners for you, that we can change a lost and dying world. Help us, Lord, to do this, and we'll thank you for what you do in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Just a few weeks ago, right there, I believe it was at Vacation Bible School, I talked about that night the world of wisdom, and it's kind of a subject that's really hot and heavy upon my heart as I was going through my studies and everything this week. And we talked about the world of wisdom last time, and since then, we have taken a trip to the Dominican Republic, and just a great trip. We took a baseball team down there, took our youth group down there, and it was just an awesome trip that we took. Got to see many souls saved, many lives changed, and I'm forever grateful for that trip and that missions trip. But during that time, I remember that me and Heather, our first missions trip, which was last year, what we said is, as soon as we got done with that trip, I said, "I've got to learn Spanish." It was one of the most frustrating things going over there to that country and not being able to speak their language. I wanted to communicate with them. I wanted to speak Spanish. And so the very thing that I said, "Honey," last year, or it was the last year, I said, "Honey," I said, "we've got to learn Spanish." Didn't I? I said, "We've got to learn it. We've got to get, you know, going on it. I want to be fluent in it." And I got back, and I didn't learn Spanish. I was frustrated. You know, I looked at literally a year flew by. I mean, just like that. I mean, it flew by me, and I was like, doggone. I could have had a year of Spanish under my belt already. And so, you know, I said, "Next year, honey, we're really going to learn Spanish this time. You know, we're really going to do it." And so I, you know, came back to the States, and I still had that same passion, that same desire to learn Spanish. And so I started looking online on Craigslist. And so I seen on there for $200, I seen Rosetta Stone, Latina America. I was all excited. I said, "Honey, there's our ticket right there." I said, "That's our ticket right there to learn Spanish so I can be fluent in Spanish." So you know what we did? We bought Rosetta Stone. Man, we've been studying it, you know, many times during the week. I feel like I'm getting real good. I'm learning what the difference between, you know, the masculine words and the feminine words. And so really through this whole time, you know, especially for the 4th of July, I wanted to learn our Pledge of Allegiance. So I said, "I want to learn our Pledge of Allegiance in Spanish." And so as I was, you know, trying to learn it, trying to really figure out the dialect to it and everything, I said, "Honey, I think I've got it." And so she said, "Well, let me hear it." And I said, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all." That's pretty good Spanish right there. I'm getting pretty fluent. So, needless to say, Rosetta Stone has saved my life learning Spanish and everything. So, I don't know where I came up with that. But what we're talking about tonight is wisdom. Learning wisdom. And that's what really, on a serious subject, me and Heather, we're learning it. I'm going to try to get fluent with it. Something that God has put on my heart to really learn Spanish, really become fluent in it, and, just really want to learn how to speak. So when I do go over there for missions trip, I can witness to folks, and have a way of communication with them. But during this time, right here, this book of Proverbs, it is a book, literally, of wisdom. Solomon, being the one of the smartest men of his day, one of the wealthiest men of his day, put a premium upon wisdom. And I, just like I said last time, I'll say it again. I think every single person ought to try to do their best to attain wisdom and to attain knowledge to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen? Would you agree with me on that? Adrian Rogers, who is long gone and passed away a few years back, he had pondered on the thought, on this thought. He said, "What is man's greatest need?" He said, "What is man's greatest need?" And he says, we know what man's greatest need is because of Luke chapter number 19 in verse 10. And that verse right there, literally, Jesus, he says that he came to seek and save those which were lost. That is God's primary goal. We understand that. But he asks the question, or he, ponders the thought. He says, if man's greatest need was education, Jesus would have become an educator. He says, if man's greatest need was finances, he said that he would have come as an economist or perhaps a banker. He says, if it is peace, if so, he would have come as a diplomat. But Christ didn't come as any of those things. Christ didn't come to earth for any of those reasons, but came for to seek and save those which are lost. That was Jesus Christ's primary goal, and just as that was Jesus Christ's desire of his heart, that ought to be the very same desire of our heart tonight, is we are to seek and literally save those by pulling them out of the fire, by telling them about a God that loves them, and about a God that will give them salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. God uses his own wisdom to show of the grace he gives in salvation. Now, according to one source, the U.S. has dropped in education rankings in the past few years. According to HuffPost Education, U.S. has dropped in education rankings in the world, and it's dropped to the status of average. And during this time, Bill Gates, everybody knows him, the creator of Microsoft and Apple and all these things, him being one of the smartest men in our country, one of the wealthiest men, took note of this. And him alone has never really got involved in politics. But because of this recent drop in statistics, Bill Gates decided to get a little bit in politics because of the danger of falling behind in education, to try to, in a political level, raise up the bar in our country's education. You see, everybody desires and wants to attain wisdom. There's not one person in here that doesn't want to attain wisdom and to attain knowledge. The very difference a person that has it and that doesn't have it is one that's willing to work for it and one that is not willing to work for it. You see, wisdom doesn't come very easy. You have to dig for it. You have to be willing to find it and dig for it and work for it, for wisdom and knowledge. And so Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 through 7, verse 7 being the key verse that unlocks the whole book of Proverbs, and he says this, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now you think about it, that in this world that we live in, the people that are sitting right here within this congregation, that are sitting right here under the sound of my voice, we as a people have a fear over the authority that is over us. You say, well, how is that, Kyle? Why is it that we have a fear over authority? Well, one, because we're not out committing murder this very moment. We're not out robbing banks. We're not out breaking the law. And the very reason why is because we know the consequences behind those things, those laws that we break. And so here, fearing the Lord is having the same respect. It is having the same respect for the authority that God Himself has. And so tonight, I want to speak to you on three ways that you can attain wisdom. Three simple ways that you can attain wisdom tonight. And the first way is you are to obey the voice of instruction. You are to obey the voice of instruction. Now look with me over here in chapter 1, verse 8 through 10. And Solomon reads here, and he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Then skip over to verse 15 through 19 and read with me. "My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the side of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." Now over in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, a very familiar verse. It simply says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth." Now understand about chapter 1 here alone, it is as a godly father speaking to his son and giving instruction to his child. It is so different, think about it these days. It is so different from now that we are grown up, now that we are not under the authority of our parents, very different lives that we live. You see, understand that when we were young, we were under the authority of our parents, and therefore, being under the authority of our parents, we obeyed our parents out of fear. But the older that we became, and that now that we are older, we don't no longer obey our parents out of fear, but we obey our parents out of love. And that is no different with the child of God. As a babe in Christ, you obey God out of fear. But as you feed upon the meat of God's Word, and as you are growing in God's Word and growing spiritually, you no longer serve God out of being in fear of God, but you serve God out of your love and devotion to God. Understand that. You see, we start out and obey God out of fear. Then as we grow, we obey God because we love God. See, there's a story of an aviation cadet, and he was on a practice flight and was suddenly stricken with blindness. And frantically, he had contacted the control tower and told of his desperate plight. And his commanding officer, he had radioed back and he had said, "Sir, don't be afraid. Just do what I tell you to do." And after being advised to keep circling the field until all was clear for landing, the sightless pilot was instructed to begin his descent down upon the ground. And so as the aircraft approached the runway, he could hear the officer's voice encouragingly saying, "Sir, you are coming right on target." So the cadet, giving unquestioning obedience to his commander, brought the plane safely down and landed the plane safely upon the ground. Now understand, it is God's voice of instructions that lands you safely for wherever life may take you. God's voice will lead you everywhere and lead you safely there wherever life may take you. And so understand this, remember this, that you don't grow spiritually because of age. Age has nothing to do with it. You do not grow spiritually because of age. You grow spiritually because of application. That is applying God's word to your life and wisdom to your life and living it out for the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we talking about? We're talking about the obeying the voice of instruction is simply what God says to do. Obey the voice of instruction. But the second way to attain wisdom, God says, he says not only to obey the voice of instruction, but he says to ignore the voice of temptation. Now look with me over in verse 10 through 14 once again. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. He says, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Ignore the voice of temptation. Now, if you notice right here, in verse 10, there is a word that Solomon uses right here that James uses also later in the book of James. And it is the word entice. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, he says. Now, James 1:13 says this, let no man say that when he is tempted, that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted of evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. This word he uses for entice. And it has to do with literally baiting a hook or placing a worm upon a hook. Now understand, why does a fisherman put a worm on a hook? Why does he bait his hook? And the reason is, it is to hide the real deal. It's not about the worm. The worm is the attraction. The real deal from the fisherman's standpoint is actually the hook. But a fish is not going to go swimming toward a hook. Now understand, fish are dumb, but they're not crazy. Fish understand that. It won't head for a hook, but it will swim towards a worm. Not understanding that the worm is covering the real deal. Understand that tonight. We are no different most of the time. We are going after the things, after the hooks of temptation, but when we are drawn away of our own lust, when the situation doesn't even look dangerous. Understand that tonight, that when temptation arises, we are drawn away to our own lust, and a lot of the times, we don't even realize the danger that lies behind the bait of the hook. And so understand, that's what we're trying to get you to understand tonight. He uses this word entice. And so temptation is used in order to allure you in. That word entice literally means to allure, to pull you in. And it gives the thought of a certain animal called an alligator snapping turtle. Now, this is what I tell our youth all the time. I am a Animal Planet fanatic. I love Discovery Channel. I love Animal Planet. In fact, when Steve Irwin died, I cried a little bit because he felt like a part of the family. I was like, oh, crikey, I can't believe he died. You know, and I was a little upset. I'm an Animal Planet fanatic. I love Animal Planet. And so on this Animal Planet show, it shows of this certain animal called the alligator snapping turtle. It's crazy what this animal does. But it goes, and as it's getting ready to feast upon fish, it will go in hiding, and as he sits right there, he will open his mouth ever so slightly, and he will stick out his tongue and roll it up. And right under his tongue looks like a little bitty worm. And so as that mouth is wide open, that tongue is exposed, he has a little pink, what looks like a worm, wiggling right out of his mouth. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy, isn't it? That's how I first met Heather. No, I'm just kidding. And so what happened here is this alligator snapping turtle, in order to feast upon the fish, in order to eat and survive, it opens its mouth and it attracts the fish. And so those fish will literally swim right up to it, not realizing that the worm is actually the tongue of an alligator snapping turtle. And before the fish even realizes it, smack, the fish is dead and becomes the next meal for the alligator snapping turtle. Now, temptation is the same way. It draws you away of your own lust, and you don't even realize the danger that lurks behind temptation. That's why we have to be careful. That's why our eyes have to be peeled upon Jesus Christ. It has to be focused upon Him, because when we are drawn away of our own lust, that's when tragedy strikes, and that's when the jaws of temptation clamp upon our lives and crush our lives spiritually. How many of you would say that fish are probably dumb animals? We would probably all agree that fish are not, at the top of the food chain. They're not that, that intelligent of animals. We'd all agree on that. And so we would say, why do they fall for the same doggone trick every single time? I can go fishing, out here tonight. I went fishing earlier this week with my cousin that was in town for 4th of July. Man, and it just seemed like I was catching the same fish over and over. They fall for the same trick every single time. But wait before you answer, because the Bible compares me and you to a certain animal that is within the Bible. And he says God compares me and you to the animal that is what's called a sheep. And sheep are not very intelligent animals. Sheep are very stubborn. Sheep are very, very dumb animals. And we fall for the same trick every single time. You see, Satan has been using the same trick, up his sleeve ever since the garden. He's been using those three same tricks up his sleeve to trick and draw man away of his own lust and to tempt him. Understand that tonight. And so we see Solomon saying here, he says to listen, obey the voice of instruction. If you are wanting to attain wisdom, he says, obey the voice of instruction that God says. But then he slips over and he says, if you're going to attain wisdom, not only obey the voice of instruction, but you are to ignore the voice of temptation, he says. But here, later on through the chapter, he says, not only ignore the voice of temptation and obey the voice of instruction, but he says, listen to the voice of salvation, is what he says. Now look with me over here in verse 20 through 33. He talks about listening to the voice of salvation. Now look with me in verse 20 through 22. Verse 20 through 21. He says, wisdom cries without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, stop right there. God has shown the whole world the wisdom of Himself. Now, He has done this in three different areas. You say, why is it that God doesn't just reveal Himself to the whole world? God has revealed himself to the whole world, but he's done it in three different areas and three different types. First, God has revealed himself through what the Bible calls creation. God has revealed himself through creation. Creation cries out to the world that there is a God. When we look up at the stars and we see the trees and we see the sun and the planets in the sky, it cries out to us that God is alive and there is a God in heaven that loves you and I. Creation. God has revealed himself through creation. But God has not only revealed himself through creation, he has revealed himself through conscience. Conscience is branded upon the heart of every single human being. You say, how is that true, Kyle? Why is it? How is it that God has revealed himself in our conscience? You go to the deepest, darkest part of the jungle, and you don't have to teach a person that it's wrong to steal. You don't have to teach a person that it is wrong to take the life of another person, to murder. You don't have to teach a person that it is wrong to lie. People in the deepest, darkest jungle create their own gods, create their own images to worship after. So God has literally branded the Ten Commandments on every single person's heart so that we are without excuse. So he has revealed himself through creation, that is the stars and the moons and the suns in the skies. God has also revealed himself through conscience, that is through his Ten Commandments, through the law of God. But God has also revealed himself through the church. And that is very important for me and you to understand tonight. That God himself, we are the very voice that speaks for God. We are the audible voice that relates God's message to a lost and dying world. It is made that way so that the whole world is without excuse. When they stand before God on judgment day, God will reveal to them that I have revealed myself through creation, I have revealed myself through conscience, and I've revealed myself through the church. So God says to listen to the voice of salvation. And so here in verse 22, we read, "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge?" He says, how long will you dwell in these things? You see, there's three types of sinners that God deals with. Three types of sinners that verse 22 explains to you and I. The first one, the simple ones, are the naive ones, believing whatever and having no desire for wisdom. The second is a scorner, which criticizes the church and the things of God. But then the third type of sinner is what we call fools. The third is fools, and Scripture says that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And so those are the three types of sinners that we see in verse 22. These type of people put their trust within themselves. Now, if you've noticed this year, I don't know if you can tell, but in the very early months of this year, 2011, we have, just in this year alone, we have seen more, I believe, more tragedy than I can remember as far as with natural disasters than I can remember before. I mean, we've had the earthquakes in Japan that devastated over 23,000 lives and brought 23,000 lives to death. Then we see the floods that took place in Mississippi and all the homes that were lost. And we see it even in our own back door. Right here in Ringgold and all through parts of different parts of Chattanooga and Trenton and all those areas. Seeing how natural disaster has devastated many families and many lives. And we can see these things right here in this first half of the year. And I'm reminded of storms back when we were kids. Think back with me when you were a small kid. And whenever a storm would come, back when we were kids, a lot of times it would frighten us, wouldn't it? We would be, I remember, we would be in bed, and as a storm would arise in the middle of the night, as I could hear the lightning striking and I could hear the rains and the winds blowing, it would scare me half to death. And I would remember getting up out of my bed, going in there to my mom and dad, and getting right there in the middle of them, and they would ask what was wrong. And just to hear their voice was so reassuring. It was so reassuring to my life that I forgot about what was happening on the outside, the storms that were going around on the outside, because I was next to my parents' voice that brought me comfort and that brought me joy. It didn't change the circumstances in my life. The storms were still raging, but because I was close to my parents and I clung to my parents, oh, it brought me joy. It brought me comfort. Let me tell you, child of God, the storm that you are in this very hour, oh, you cling to God. You cling to Him. Stay close to God, because when you hear His voice, when you hear the voice of God speaking, oh, how it brings you comfort, how it brings you joy to your life. No matter, it doesn't change the circumstances that are on the outside. Oh, but because you are close to the One, He has died for you, given His life. Oh, when He speaks, it brings joy and comfort. Aren't you glad of that tonight? I'm very thankful for that tonight. Storms would frighten us when we were kids. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you are going through life storms alone. You are facing these problems in this world, and you are facing them alone. And so God says the wrath of God is already upon your life when you don't have a relationship with God. But the very moment that you receive Him as Christ and Savior, God promises you that He would never leave you and that He would never forsake you. So God says, come all those that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, is what God says. One last story. Adrian Rogers, just one of my favorite preachers that I enjoy listening to, he tells a very unique story about a preacher friend of his that was in a service, and it was getting close to where we're at right now, getting time for the altar call and invitation to take place. And his preacher friend remembers a guy sitting up in the balcony, close about to the left-hand side, and as the invitation would call down, he noticed that this guy over the past couple of months would stand up and he would raise his hand for salvation, that he wanted to receive Christ, but he never would come down. And this preacher friend of his would recall the situation where he would be calling for the invitation, and he would call for those sinners to come and get saved and receive Christ as Savior, and would notice he would get out of his seat and notice that he looked like he was convicted, but yet he would sit right back down. Well, this particular Sunday, the very same gentleman was there. And as he arose upon his seat for the invitation to be called, he called down for the invitation. Notice the man looked like that he was getting ready to walk down, but yet would come back and stand. And he would do that one more time. He would start to head back towards that way. Look like he was starting downstairs, but yet he would come back right then. And so as a preacher was preaching the invitation, he noticed that the gentleman had left the balcony and went down the steps, and he said, praise God, the sinner has come. But the sinner never came. And he looked up this gentleman, tried to find everywhere that he was, and he seen that this young man was in a hospital. And he went to go visit this young man. And he said, sir, I noticed that you were in service such and such date. Is that true? And the young man said, yes, sir, I was. He said, it came to my attention that you wanted to receive God as your Savior. He said, is that true? He said, yes, sir, that's true. He said, I plead with you. Why didn't you come and receive him as Lord and Savior? And that young man stood there and he said, sir, I wanted to receive God as Savior more than anything in this world. He said, well, what happened? He said, I remembered my favorite sin. And I walked out of the building, and he said that it was like something had died within me. What a tragic story. And this preacher met with him, pleaded for him to come to salvation. And not long, a couple days after this pastor had visited with him, he had heard news that this man had slipped off into eternity. And as far as he knew, never received Christ as Savior. You know, I believe with this gentleman's life, I believe it happens to a lot of folks around us. You say, well, what is that, Kyle? I believe that God gives so much opportunity to people. Gives them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And they reject Christ as Savior. They never come to Him. And so the very next step that God takes is that He gives them over to a reprobate heart. And then they can't get saved. You said, how is that? You remember the story of Pharaoh with the children of Israel. Moses asked Pharaoh to let my people go. The Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. Moses would reply once again, let my people go, Pharaoh. And the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. But one particular time, the verse changes. And it doesn't say that Pharaoh hardened his heart, but it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God gave Pharaoh over to a reprobate heart to where he couldn't do the right thing. Not that he wanted to, but that God gave him opportunity and gave him all the chance in the world, but he didn't do the right thing. I believe that's what's happening in our churches today. I believe that's happened all around us. That God is calling for salvation. God is calling for the sinner to come. God gives opportunity, but something dies within the sinner's heart. And that is rejecting Christ as Savior to where he can never become saved and become a child of God. You know, one last little story I just want to share with you, and I won't keep you. I remember when I was in ninth grade, I remember my papaw had an opportunity. My papaw was lost for years. And he would come for just about a week or so from Florida. And this particular night, before he was leaving to go back to Florida, he had stayed a week. And the previous Sunday, he had came to church with us. The preacher preached on hell. And I remember my papaw gripping the seat in front of him, and his knuckles were white because he was convicted with the Spirit of God. But he didn't ever come. And I remember going through the week, and this particular Thursday night before the Friday that he left, I remember God arrested my heart that very night. And God spoke to my heart and said, Kyle, witness to your papaw about getting saved or you're going to regret it. And I felt within my heart that something bad was going to happen. I didn't know what to do, so I went to my mom and I said, Mom, I was crying. I said, I don't know what to do. I think it's God speaking to my heart. She said, Kyle, you better tell your papaw about getting saved. I went straight out there, mustered all the courage that I could gather up, and I said, Papaw, let me ask you a question. He looked up at me and he said, what is it, Kyle? I said, are you saved? He said, Kyle, I'm not. I said, would you like to be? He said, Kyle, I'd like that. And the very moment that he said that, I literally felt like that's what I needed to say. I had a peace of God like I could never explain before. And so we went about our every other times that we said our goodbyes that Friday morning. I went to school that next Monday morning. I was on my way to football practice. I noticed Dad had a brand new vehicle standing outside. And I was wondering, I said, what does Dad have a brand new vehicle for? He said, Kyle, don't worry about football practice. Just go ahead and get in the van. I said, what's going on, Dad? He said, I've got some bad news, but your papaw died and passed away this morning. Like that. I remember that very moment and that feeling. What if
I'd have never told my papa about salvation. And perhaps, what if he had never listened to the voice of God? God gave him opportunity after opportunity. God's given you opportunity after opportunity to come to Him. And so now we're going to call for you to come, whether it's for salvation or whether it's for sanctification. God simply says to come. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as they come, play a song for invitation.